Will you pray with me? Dear God, the one who is truth, we come to you this morning seeking to hear your voice. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you to our Ore Valley United Church of Christ players. Well done, well done, well done. But it really is. That's the passage today. It's this dialogue between Abraham and God. Both Lana, everybody did a great job. But Lana and Kyle really captured the two characters going back and forth, asking this kind of seamless, I heard Peggy chuckle, seemingly ridiculous almost. Just like, what about, you know? And so it reminded me of asking questions. The importance of asking questions. And I had a funny experience that's always stuck with me ever since it happened. But I was in seminary, and you know, I like to hustle and I like to move quickly. You know, I say it's the American way. But you know, you got things to do, you got errands to run, you got papers to be filed, signed, etc., etc., etc. And so I had my head down, I was moving through the seminary building, just trying to get done what I needed to get done. And I briskly am passing one of my South Korean colleagues. My seminary had a wonderful program that brought ministers from South Korea who were seeking to get ordained and to fulfill their obligations to our seminary. So we got to have some really wonderful interactions with them. And this is one of the lasting ones. So I'm passing one of these fellows. And as I'm, you know, jetting past him, essentially, I say, hey, how are you? You know, you've done that before, right? Well, as I say, hey, how are you? And then keen to move on, I noticed, stopped and took a deep breath and started actually reflecting on how he was and his actual state of being. And I had to pause and be polite and I, oh, wait, oh, right. No, yeah, we can talk about this. But it was good, and I learned from that South Koreans especially take it seriously when you ask them, how are they doing? Unlike us, who treat it like a version of an extension of hello. And that's actually essentially what's happening in today's passage. God's in an urgent mode, way more urgent than a seminary student who needs to get something signed. God has a pressing issue. There's been an outcry. And the word outcry is key throughout Scripture. Outcry is what the Israelites, when they were captives, when they were slaves in Egypt, they gave an outcry to God for liberation. Jesus, when he's dying on the cross, gives an outcry to God. Outcries are these last yearnings for God's justice, for God's promise to come forth and be revealed. And so God has heard this outcry of injustice and yearning for fulfillment and liberation and God's love to come forth. And the outcry is against Sodom and Gomorrah, a story some of us may or may not be familiar with. And unfortunately, a lot of times that story gets packaged as simply that the sins or the injustice, what was gravely pushing God, had to do with sexuality, especially homosexuality. But really, that's an inappropriate and a very narrow-focused interpretation of the whole Bible in general, because, one, it's unclear that that's actually what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the prophets talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, and they talk about the injustices in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they mention the treatment of the poor and those in need and how Sodom and Gomorrah exploited the poor and the hungry and the outcasts. Jesus emphasizes especially that last part. Jesus condemns a city, and when he's condemning a city, he compares them to Sodom and Gomorrah, and what he brings up is how that city is like Sodom and Gomorrah because they mistreat the outsider. They mistreat those who are different. They are unwelcoming. They are violently inhospitable. Those are the injustices. I mean, we're talking about something grave and serious here. And that's what God is in an urgent need to go find out. God says, I need to go see what's going on. And I need to bring forth justice. And I need to find out what that means. Abraham is bold enough to stop God. Abraham, with humility too, as we heard, Abraham says, hey, forgive me. I apologize. I see you're in a rush. I just have a question. And it's not as simple as a, hey, how are you question. It's a complex question. I mean, it's what political debates are built on kind of question. It's what thousands upon thousands of years of human thinking and philosophy and politics is built on. It's the question of what is justice? Oh, since we're on the topic, Abraham thinks, not only what is justice, but what is compassion? What is mercy? How is justice and mercy brought forth through your eternal judgment? Actually, in the opening comment, Abraham goes as far to kind of challenge God and say, I mean, you, the judge of the universe, you wouldn't wipe out the righteous with the wicked. Heaven forbid it, he says. He challenges God, really. But again, in a humble, compassionate manner. And we know it's a humble and compassionate manner because God responds with compassion and mercy. And it's interesting on God's response, on God's reception to the question, because God slows down. God's urgency seems to take a back seat in the story. And now God is engaging Abraham. And God says, well, sure, of course, you're right. If I found 50 righteous there, I would save the entire city. God takes it one step further. Not only would I save the righteous, I would save everyone. I would spare them all. And it's interesting because Abraham isn't just asking about people. So later in the story, the passage after this, what we hear about is a famous story about Lot. Either a friend or a family member of Abraham, someone Abraham probably knew. So there's some question like, is that what Abraham's asking about? Whatever Abraham's inspiration is, what is clear is that the chosen one, the one who is a co-heir to the promise of God with Sarah, the one who with Sarah shares in God's divine revelation and promise, is asking about the unchosen, is asking about the outsiders, the ones God hasn't come to yet, the one whose God's abundance and generosity and eternal love haven't fully been revealed to yet. Abraham's asking about the outsiders. And so it serves as an antithesis to the injustice of Sodom and Gomorrah, who is rejecting the outsider, who refuses to welcome in those who are different, who refuses to care about those who don't think, act, and look and are them. Abraham is concerned about strangers, about those who are different. And God responds with compassion, welcoming in this question. I mean, we can't hear this passage and not think, wait a second, can we ask our own questions? Can we go to God with tough questions? And that's really what our challenge is. And it's interesting because the breakdown of the numbers, the going forth from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10, it becomes irreducible. No longer, God is saying, I will save everyone for the sake of any righteous present. Any of those who are willing to do justice, to share in the journey of compassion and mercy. God is celebrating the fact that the human he has connected with, the human that God is in relationship with, is willing and eager to join in God's work for compassion, for justice and mercy in this world, to begin to reflect on it, to build a relationship around it, and to join together in the uncertainties and the ambiguities, Because these are big questions. And if this was all solved right here in this passage, then we have about 65 books that are unnecessary in the Bible. But we know it doesn't stop here. We know that that question Abraham initially asked, what is justice? How is justice and compassion and mercy lived out? They're as prevalent and as uncertain and complex today as they were then. The question is, are we willing to ask it? Are we willing to build relationship around it? To live into the ambiguity? Are we willing to reach out boldly and with humility to God, to the one who is truly other, to those around us who are truly other, and ask the question? That's our challenge today, because today we live in an age and in a culture where it's quicker to give answers than to let questions loom. We almost give answers faster than questions can be articulated or even take a moment to let them sink in. Every news anchor, every politician, they all want to be quick with answers before the questions can take full form and take root. We're in a time when many of us are more worried about drawing lines in the sand, and the only questions we really ask are you with us or are you against us? That seems to be the only pressing question, a red line question, a question that's not really a question. It's more of a statement of like, either get with us or don't. Instead of saying, hey, how does this work? Hey, how does justice and compassion and God's will and mercy thrive in our day? Even this past week, all of a sudden, for anybody who reads the newspaper, we were awoken to the final decision that the federal government was going to reinstate and carry out federal executions again. No longer would we be allowed to live into the question of what is justice. The answer is given. Starting in December, we will be carrying out executions. And it wasn't just in our neighborhood, but it was all over the world that this news was proclaimed. No longer do we have the time to wonder and ponder what is justice, what is mercy and compassion. I almost hear, even on that topic, Abraham asking, what if we found 10 righteous who had been unjustly executed? What then? But it's deeper than that. It is deeper than that. Because what our real questions are about connecting and relationship. It's what Abraham did with God. See, Abraham approached God out of intimate, faithful relationship and love. And it was all built around a question. A question wondering, how is it we do this together? How is it we answer these questions together? And to begin to live into those questions, to not let ourselves be buried into our own answers, but to begin to hear one another and their questions. To begin to live into Abraham's questions of, what if we found righteous ones on the other side? What if those who disagreed with us, those who thought differently than us, those who looked and lived differently than us, those who had different creeds than us, what if we found righteous ones among them? What do we do then? And I think the ultimate question is, a question that I think Abraham actually implied in this whole narrative, is that ultimate question of, how are you? How are you doing? What stirs you? What is causing you to be so urgent? What is causing you to be so passionate, to be filled with anger? We get angry, and it's okay to get angry, but how are we? Are we willing to take the time to ask that question? That's an intimate question. It's a tough question. Are we willing to ask it like I asked it and pass by and not really seek an answer? Or are we willing to ask the questions and sit with them for a second and seek answers and seek deeper relationship? Are we willing to invite others to be vulnerable while also taking the risk to be vulnerable? That's what Abraham did. I mean, He asked God, what is justice? And he asked him, I mean, you're not going to kill everybody, are you? It's a bold question to ask the ultimate judge you just met 2 weeks ago and who's already given you two children at the age of 95. Didn't somebody say something about looking a gift horse in the mouth? Today and this week and for our whole lives, maybe we begin to bring about justice by being willing to live into the question, by being willing to look one another in the eye and to hear these intense, passionate discussions about justice, about mercy, about security, about welcoming, about the big things we think about. And maybe we look at one another and we say, how are you doing? And we invite the answer. We invite relationship. And we cement the journey. And we say to one another, how are you? And how are we going to get there together? Amen.